.org/caregiver.
Good morning. Welcome to Radioactivity. I'm Rob Loray. Coming up today, we're going to talk about the elections and take your phone calls. And in just a second, we'll hear a couple of listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. But first, we're going to go to West Tampa and talk with Deandra Liu, who is at one of the polling places in West Tampa. And apparently, there's a situation there we want to tell you about right away. Deandra, welcome to WMNF. Good to have you here.
Hi, Rob. How are you?
I'm good. Where are you in West Tampa?
We are at the precinct that's at 2312 West Union Street in West Tampa.
That's at the library?
Yes.
Yes.
At the library.
All right. So what's the situation there?
Yeah. So I've been here. I'm volunteering, just trying to make sure everyone has the information that they need. And probably in the past hour, I've had about 30 people come up and say that they were turned down when they tried to go vote. A lot of them... all minorities, and a lot of them have been voting here for 20-plus years. They live in the neighborhood, but when they went to go vote, they found out that their precinct was changed and they hadn't been notified, so they're having to drive 15, 20 minutes away from their home to go vote.
And now, are any officials from the Hillsborough Supervisor of Elections there that you've been able to talk to?
No, nobody is here yet. I put in a report, so I'm waiting to hear back from them. And this was the first hour that I was here, so I'm not even sure how many more people this is going to be. But no, nobody's here yet.
So just to kind of recap, you're at the West Tampa Library on Main Street. It's one of the polling places in this election. You've been approached by, are you a volunteer poll watcher? Is that what you're doing?
I'm volunteering just with the Democratic Party. I'm out volunteering, handing out information.
Okay. So, and you've been approached by 30 people who suddenly have had their polling place changed. This is the place that they usually have voted for years and years, and now they're turned away and they have to somehow get to another polling place miles away.
Yes. And, I mean, I just had somebody come up and they said they lived 50 feet away and they're having to drive 20 minutes down McDill to go vote. And they just voted, you know, this, the last election they voted here. They've been voting here for 20-plus years, they said.
Yeah. Now, is there an election, is there a hotline that people can call if they feel like something's wrong with the election? Is there a...
So what we're doing, I just went and got a bunch of signs. They had to tell people to come check with us before. We can check on the Hillsborough website. By their zip code and their address and find out where their precinct is just to save some time. Call your supervisor of elections. I'm sure this is happening in other places. So if you feel like something isn't right or you're being turned down, call your supervisor of elections. But we're trying out here. We have a table set up and we're trying to catch people before they go in and try to vote.
And Deandra, do you get the sense that everybody who's being turned away from West Tampa and told to go to a different polling precinct that they're going to actually vote, or do you think will some people give up? What's your sense based on your
actually? You know, every single person that has come up to us and asked for us to look up their precinct that has been turned down is driving out of their way to go vote.
All right, so they're very determined.
Which is really refreshing.
Yeah,
they're very determined.
All right, well, Deandra, we got the word out just there. Thank you for calling us and letting us know.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks. That's Deandra Liu, who is a volunteer for the Democratic Party. She's right outside the West Tampa Library on Main Street. And she says that several people have been told at the last minute the polling place there that they've been going to for years, it's no longer their polling place. So I think one thing to do before you go out to vote, if you haven't yet voted, is go online and make sure that you're registered. You can go to your county election supervisor's office. You can make sure you're registered. And also when you go online, you can figure out where your polling place is. So if it's been changed, you'll know right there. And if you don't have a computer, I would say try to get a friend. Well, this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Yesterday, we were discussing the election, and after the show, we got these two comments.
This is Doug from Clearwater. The whole elections have consequences thing, you know, Trump sure could dish out the criticism while he's trying to get elected, and the media covered it. Maybe he should thank the media for getting him elected. If he doesn't like the hot seat, he can always resign. As for sending the military to the border, I think we should send in the air power. I think we could probably win this war, and not only because the people heading there aren't looking to fight one, I don't believe. The environment should be the issue. We all need it. The economy, education, mental health, and probably health care in general could probably benefit if this were the focus. Maybe the gun issues we tried to grapple with would diminish if everybody had the opportunity to find some peace through the environment. How many people never experience any of it, or much of it? And yes, Obama deserves as much credit, and in my opinion, probably more praise for the economy than Trump. The last thing I'd like to express is that if the millennials do make up a significant, if not the most significant voting bloc now, that they listen to the song from Johnny Cash, What is Truth? Thanks, Rob.
I'm really calling with a breaking news story. That is, my name's Gail Gottlieb, by the way. The story is about today's election and a candidate in it. It's Congressional District 15, that's Temple Terrace, Brandon, stretches eastward to Plant City into Lakeland. The candidate is Ross Spano from the Brandon area. The Tampa Bay Times has just broken a story about what looks like $174,000 in illegal campaign contributions to him. And I think that would be a great story to get on the air as soon as possible and let the voters know.
All right. Well, those are some listener comments that came in after yesterday's program. You're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. We're going to open up the phone lines in just a few minutes and take your phone calls. And you can also send an email into the studio here, an email comment to dj@wmnf.org. It's Election Day. I hope you voted already. If you haven't, you've got until 7 o'clock tonight to vote. We're going to discuss the elections from a variety of different angles today. I had invited both Andrew Gillum and Ron DeSantis to be on the show today. Unfortunately, neither one was able to be here. Well, so it goes. I thought we were going to get both, but it turns out neither was able to do it. Earlier today, I spoke with Anna Navarro, who is a Republican. She's from the Miami area. And she is one of the leading Latino Republicans in the state of Florida. And she's also a commentator on CNN. And here's that interview I did with Anna Navarro.
This is Doug from Clearwater.
Anna Navarro, welcome to WMNF. Nice to have you here.
Thank you very much. Very happy to be here.
The president is concentrating on the issue of illegal immigration as the core message of his campaign. What do you think, as a strategy, do you think that that's going to be successful for voters here in Florida?
I don't know. The answer is I don't know. It certainly worked for him in 2016. He is resorting to his old playbook of scaring voters, of fear-mongering, and of using the immigration issue as a wedge issue to drive Americans apart. I think it's a very clear choice. He's made the choice to continue dividing this country and exploiting the issue of immigration, lying about it, exaggerating it, whipping hysteria. And he thinks it's going to work out in the polls. It's up to Floridians to prove him wrong.
He's going after his base, and he doesn't seem to be reaching outside the base. The base is pretty big. It's somewhere between 39 and 45%. Is that big enough, do you think, to win a state like Florida?
Yeah, it was big enough in 2016. Remember, in 2016, we all thought Hillary Clinton was going to win Florida. Hillary Clinton thought she was going to win Florida and the United States. And let's not forget that, you know, she ended up with fireworks and balloons that were never released. She thought she had it that much in the bag. And so many voters came out on Election Day, threw out the models of the polls, and won the state and the presidency for Donald Trump. We don't know what's going to happen on Election Day. And we used to say, and we used to say it a little bit in, you know, tongue-in-cheek, the only poll that matters is Election Day. Well, that is so true today. The only poll that matters is Election Day. Every other poll seems to be wrong. We can't count on polls the way we did anymore because the turnout models are so often different than what the polling reflects. So people need to go out and vote. Need to go out and vote and make a difference.
Florida's Latino community is just as diverse as any other community in the state, but this issue of coming here illegally, some people who are in the Latino community did come here illegally, and now they're voting. Some came here legally or were granted asylum. Any idea, you know, where the two major blocks, the Puerto Rican block, the Cuban block, and then, you know, the vast Latino population from the diaspora, where they're going to head today in this election?
Look, I think a lot of the older Cubans, the super Republican voters, are going to vote Republican and vote for Donald Trump's candidate. I think for the Puerto Ricans, it's less than less an immigration issue and much more a Puerto Rico issue in the aftermath of Hurricane Maria and the failure of the government to respond adequately and quickly enough, which cost 3,000 or more lives. I think that's what's going to be weighing heavily on the Puerto Rican community's mind. And you are absolutely right. No community is monolithic. This is not groupthink. I think non-Cuban Hispanics will probably be quite supportive of the Democrats, of Andrew Gillum. He has, you know, Andrew Gillum has done something that Hillary Clinton was not able to do in 2016. He has woken the hive. He has inspired. He has given people something to vote for, not just against. And I think you're going to see that reflected in the Latino community, in the African-American community.
One last question. That is that you're famously an anti-Trumper, but you're a Republican. You've been a long-standing pillar, I think, of the Republican community here in Florida. Is there... There's several other people, especially in the media, who are Republicans, but they're never Trumpers. Where's their home these days? Where do they go for people that, you know, saw President Trump as Mitt Romney saw him at the beginning of the presidential campaign? Where's the home for these folks?
Well, right now, I would tell you we have no home right now. It's all about our conscience and our principles. And, you know, I urge everybody to act according to their conscience and principles and be able to look at themselves in the mirror. There's no doubt that, right now as we speak, this is Trump's Republican Party. My hope is that one day it goes back to being the Republican Party that I grew up in. I think that having two healthy parties competing for our votes, earning our support, is the best thing that could happen for our communities and for every American. To have this level of tribalism, it's just not good. It's not good for our country. It's not good to have this level of division. And I hope that there's a level of checks and balances that comes to government as a result of this election. We have seen a Congress that has been a rubber stamp on Donald Trump, a Republican Congress that has acted like a rubber stamp on Donald Trump. I hope we get checks and balances in our state government.
Anna Navarro, thanks for spending all this time with us here on WMNF. Is there anything else that you'd like to say or point out about today's election that people should keep in mind as we look for the vote count tonight?
Yeah, look, as we talk at 9 in the morning on Election Day, I think the most important message is not to take it for granted. Voting is a privilege. Voting is a right. There are so many people around the world who are not able to exercise a vote. There are so many people that fought hard. So communities like the African Americans, like Hispanics, like women, could get the right to vote. We've got that right. And really, we need to honor the history. We need to honor the responsibility that comes with democracy by going out to vote today. So make a plan, go out and vote, make the time, bring a friend, bring an energy bar, bring some water, wear comfy shoes, study the ballot. But damn it, we get a chance every 2 years. This is our shot at the apple. We cannot take it for granted and let it go to waste. Florida needs to go out and vote massively today.
Anna Navarro, thank you so much. We'll see you on CNN.
Thank you.
That was Anna Navarro earlier today. Anna is a commentator on CNN, and you're listening to WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. And let me just pick up this ringing bell. Caller, you're on the air. Is this by any chance Reverend Jackson?
Yes. Do you want me to put him on the line?
Yeah, that would be great.
Okay.
Thanks.
1 second, please. And your name again was?
Rob Lori at WMNF Rob. Radio. Yeah.
And you're in what city?
Tampa, St. Petersburg, Sarasota.
Thanks. I'm putting Reverend Jackson on the line now.
Thanks a lot.
Tampa, St. Petersburg.
Reverend Jesse Jackson, how do you do?
Reverend Jesse Jackson, welcome to WMNF. It's nice to have you here.
Well, good to be. We were in Jacksonville all weekend and have been in Orlando and across the state of Florida campaigning. And we're trying to keep the focus on the issues that matter.
This is an historic day. What's at stake today?
You from the county?
Well, the emergence of a new South.
Yeah.
We've learned to play ball together, serve a military together, learn to vote together based on our interests. Florida, like Georgia, is the state where half the people make less than $15 an hour. We're working poor people. Yeah, they're turning down Medicaid. Land shootings or the shootings in Pittsburgh and semi-automatic weapons hardly make sense. And so really, what Stacey Abrams is doing and what Gillum is doing are running what one might call the moral center. These are not left campaigns, these are the moral center. And people are responding in great numbers.
What do you make of the rise? You mentioned what happened, some of the hate crimes. Why do you think we're seeing more and more hate crimes today in the United States?
Well, rain comes top down. It's acid rain. And the president talks about he's a nationalist, a white nationalist, race supremacist. He gives cover to those who have these ideologies, who are heavily armed. And they're willing to fight this on a military basis. We must fight back on a moral basis because it's the right thing to do. People in the South are learning to live together. When I say Alabama and Georgia play the big game, uniform color, not skin color, we're learning to live together. We pay taxes together. We learn to vote together. The South is too poor to be turning down Medicaid, for example, and to be misled by people who confuse Medicaid and Obamacare. And people who want Obamacare, but don't want Obamacare. They don't want the eggs. They've been confused. People are getting unconfused because I think that Stacey and Gillum are bringing clarity. And people are making real choices across race, black.
Well, you're listening to a live interview with Reverend Jesse Jackson on WMNF in Tampa. Medicaid, it doesn't matter what color you are. At some point in your life, you may need Medicaid.
There's no doubt about that. And it's more white than black, but with a white, black, or brown, when it's this dog, we all look alike in the dog. It's about medical care for people. If you work every day and cannot afford medical care, you work to win the poverty. You're going to borrow money to get sick. Working every day and cannot afford to educate your children, you're going to borrow money to send them to school. So people are working themselves into poverty. Yet we're shifting billions of dollars to the top 1%. On America and not sound economic
either. Hey, Reverend Jackson, one last question. At the end of his life, Dr. King was working on a poor people's campaign that was designed to bring people of all cultures together. That was one of the things that Dr. King was dreaming of as before he was assassinated.
This was the dream of a people to choose to turn to each other, not on each other, and based on interest and not on fear.
Thank you. He's got to run.
All right. Well, Reverend Jackson, I know you're busy. Thank you. All right. There we go. Reverend Jesse Jackson in Georgia today, campaigning hard for Stacey Abrams, who is the Democrat running for governor. And as you heard, he's also campaigned for Andrew Gillum. And this is WMNF in Tampa, 88.5 FM. Some numbers about the election. USA Today this morning is reporting that nearly 300,000 young Floridians have cast early ballots. That is a 111% increase over 4 years ago during the last midterm turnout. The state has two big races on the ballot today and lots of other important races. For governor, polls show Democratic Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum has only a slight edge over Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis. There are a few polls showing DeSantis ahead. For the Senate, polls show Governor Rick Scott either tied or closely trailing Democratic incumbent Senator Bill Nelson. There are some polls that show that Governor Rick Scott is ahead, so we don't know how this is going to turn out. Voters in the Sunshine State are younger, more racially diverse, and less likely to belong to a political party than in any time in recent decades, according to that USA Today report. 76% of voters here in Florida are non-Hispanic whites. Just 50% of Florida voters are under 30, but they don't always vote. Young voters made up about 6.8% of their early voting this time, and that was 6.8% of the early voting and absentee voters in Florida. In 2014, they made up less than that, about 4.8%. Share of early voters 65 and older has dropped, too, by 3% as to 44.6%. That's down from 47.8% back in 2014. So, in other words, young voters up slightly from 4.8% to 6.8%, and the share of early older voters down slightly from 47.8% to 44.6%. The polls opened at 7 o'clock this morning. We'll see what happens. In other news, the pipe bomb suspect, Cesar Sayoc, is expected to make his first court appearance in New York City today. Sayoc was transferred from federal custody in South Florida ahead of the hearing. Prosecutors say they'll ask a judge to hold him without bail because he's so dangerous. Sayoc is accused of sending improvised explosive devices to numerous Democrats, critics of President Trump, and CNN. More than 1.5 million adults in Florida are ineligible to vote because they have felony convictions. Voters' rights groups are hoping to change that today. The Voting Rights Restoration Initiative is on the election ballot as Constitutional Amendment 4. If it passes, those with felony convictions can have voting rights restored automatically if they've completed their sentences, including parole and probation. It does not apply to anyone convicted of murder or anyone convicted of sexual assault. The ballot measure needs 60% of the vote to pass. Voters' rights groups say of the 6.1 million disenfranchised felons here in the U.S., about 1.7 million live here in Florida. Thousands of Central Americans dreaming of getting a better life in the U.S. streamed into a stadium in Mexico City last night, and they bedded down. That was on the eve of the midterm elections. President Trump has made the caravan a central issue of his campaign. Mexico City, rather, is about 700 miles south of Laredo, Texas. So this caravan is a ways away. The AP's Peter Orsi is with the caravan in Mexico City, and he reports that the troops sent by President Trump to the U.S. border, as well as his plans for a large-scale detention of immigrants, that's not discouraging the migrants.
State officials say several hundred of the migrants have already arrived at the stadium, which has a capacity of about 6,000, and they can stay there as long as they want. There has been some talk of the caravan staying here for some time to rest and to wait for stragglers to arrive, but there really is no timetable for when they might move on again, or much less when they might reach the U.S. border. The migrants in the caravan, many of them are aware of President Donald Trump's deployment of troops to the border, even as they're still hundreds and hundreds of miles away. Many of them have said that they're perplexed and turned off by his threats, and they perceive them as exaggerated. For the most part, they're not particularly dissuaded by it. Migrants of caravans like this have taken place regularly over the years. People see it as a safe way to travel in numbers that protect them from the dangers of the route. Usually in the past, they passed pretty much unnoticed. It's only been this year that President Donald Trump has really seized on them and tried to turn them into a campaign issue.
Now, that's reporter Peter Orsi, who's with the caravan, the part of it that's in Mexico City. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. If you want to comment about anything you've heard here so far, you can call us up at 813-239-9663. Email address dj@wmnf.org. And we'll try to put your call on the air. There was rare agreement between Fox News and NBC and Facebook yesterday because all three decided to ban an ad that they said was racist. This is an ad from the Donald Trump campaign, and let's listen to a report from Warren Levinson.
The ad was introduced last week as part of the White House's bid to stir up anti-immigrant fervor on the eve of congressional elections. It features an immigrant accused of killing two sheriff's deputies. CNN rejected it as racist, but NBC showed it on Sunday Night Football and Morning Joe. Fox showed it as well. Now the networks have both decided the ad is insensitive and will not be shown anymore. On Twitter, Donald Trump Jr. ripped CNN for rejecting the spot, which contains inaccuracies as well as racist stereotypes. Warren Levinson, New York.
Well, let's open up the phone lines for a few minutes. Our phone number, 813-239-9663. Laura writes this. There's a very helpful app that helps you look up polling places and contact friends to remind them to vote. The app is Vote With Me. That's Laura's email out there. And then James writes this. I just voted in Antioch. That's in eastern Hillsborough County. Total of 8 people. That was the biggest turnout I've seen in 20 years of voting here. If it goes badly, I got my passport and Canadian T-shirts, so not to be shamed, writes James. And James, thanks for that. Let's go to Mike, who's in Brandon. Hey, Mike, you're on WMNF. What would you like to say?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Very well. Thank you for asking. Yeah, I've been kind of looking at some of the statistics, and one of the things that stood out, if you're going comparing this from the 14 election, is you don't have a major third-party candidate. In that election, I can't remember the gentleman's name, but he got 3.5% of the vote, with ultimately Scott winning that governorship with about 60,000 votes. So with that being the case, I think that the people are going to truly go A or B. They're not going to, I don't think there's going to be as much as a protest vote. I think it's around 38,000 so far, much, much lower than the 90 plus thousand that was in the 14 or the 70,000, or whatever it was for the 16. Likewise, you don't have major, you know, you don't have Jill Stein and the other type of candidates. So it looks good on paper. What are your thoughts?
Well, the guy who ran for governor, I think last time was in the Libertarian Party, was Alex Snitker. Maybe he, I forgot whether he ran for governor or one of the U.S. Senate seats. Anyway, I was at the Republican convention here in Tampa a few years ago, and there were a lot of Libertarians at that convention, and they actually staged a walkout that we covered. So I think slowly Libertarians are moving into the Republican Party like Alex did. He said he's leaving the Libertarian Party and joining the GOP, wrote a piece for it on Sunshine State News a few years ago. I think you're right. I think it is going to boil down to a choice of two. I think the most interesting group, I mean, there's a lot of interesting groups. There's African-Americans, Latinos, women, certainly interesting. But one of the most interesting groups is no party affiliated people. Hundreds of thousands of them vote. They're not registered either Democrat or Republican, and they're not registered Green or Libertarian. And where they break, where they go, that's going to be, to me, I think that's going to be the decider of the election.
Well, in this election, there's a 200% increase for the MDAs.
Yeah, so they're growing in Florida, yeah.
Right. They're definitely going to, of all the groups, because right now, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are around close to 80% of the 2016 tally. And, of course, they're way above that from the 14. But it is going to be the MPAs. But you got Gillum, who has charisma. You know, the one thing that poor Charlie, back in his election, he was slow. Scott was smart enough that he knew that he had to knock his favorability down. Most people are like, hey, I like Charlie. Well, by the time, you know, Charlie started advertising on behalf of his campaign, his polling numbers significantly, or his favorability, went significantly down. This is a whole different animal. This election, you know, the Democratic Party had enough sense to fight. There's a lot of, obviously, it was a lot of money put into it. But Nelson, if he does win the Senate, which I believe he will, he can thank Gillum and hopefully he buys him a case of beer.
Okay. All right. Yeah, a lot of people are saying that Gillum may have coattails. I think it's too soon for the Democrats to declare victory. I am skeptical of all those Democrats that think they're going to win. I'm very skeptical.
Only other thing that I would be concerned about is I believe the story tonight's going to be the Lions.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
I think the Lions are going to be, I think it's going to be the story.
Well, all right. Mike, thanks a lot.
Have a great day.
Let's talk to some people who are out in the field. Let's go to Susan, who's on Anna Maria. She says she's canvassing right now. Susan, you're live on WMNF. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hi, Rob. Yeah, I am canvassing, not on Anna Maria. I've done a little bit of everything at headquarters. And we've worked really hard. You know, everybody get out there. Please vote. It's so, so important, and we can't let up. We can't let up. And I'm like you, Rob. I'm skeptical. I'm nervous.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a close race. And I think whoever puts in the most work, you know, they're going to get some benefit from that. But you can't sit back. Republicans can't sit back. Democrats can't sit back and say, I got this or we got this. I think it's going to be very close.
Yeah, absolutely. And I have a kind of a joke for you. And it's clean. I would never say anything bad. I'm so tired. I hope I get it right. But there's three men sitting in a room. One of them's Trump, one of them's an immigrant, and one of them is just a regular working guy. So a man walks through the door, he throws down 20 cookies on the table and says to the three of them, okay, divide them up. Trump immediately snatches 19 of them. He leans back, he looks at the worker and says, that immigrant's going to take your cookie.
All right, I've heard that joke a lot about Republicans. All right, Susan, thanks.
No,
it's a famous. It's famous. Susan, where are you canvassing?
I'm actually canvassing in Sarasota, over by Buena Vista.
And what's your sense of the turnout? What's your sense of how enthused people are about voting?
I think it's very, very. I've never seen anything like it before, and I worked on President Obama's, both his campaigns, to chase the vote, and that was so exciting. And of course, this is not as exciting as, but you can feel the electricity in the air. People are definitely, you know, out there, and people, it's amazing. People have never voted, young people. Gotta keep positive, Rob.
All right, Susan, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in and giving us that eyewitness account. 813-239-9663. That's the number to call if you want to get on the air. I'm curious what you're finding at the polls. We had James write that at his precinct in Antioch, Hillsborough County, precinct number 639 was packed with people compared to what it usually is. Let's go to Kim, who's at Tampa General on Davis Island. Hi, Kim. What's up?
Hey, Rob.
Kim, are you in? Are you a patient at Tampa General?
Yes, I'm a patient. I was kind of put a crimp in my campaign to come in for emergency surgery last Monday.
Are you running for soil and water conservation?
I think I'm running for county commission.
Oh, county. I'm sorry. I got you confused with somebody else. All right, Kim.
I was on the soil and water conservation board. I did run for that, but I'm sending out through you. To your listeners that I didn't get to vote before I was admitted, and I have my form to get a ballot, but if one of the folks out there, the Every Vote Counts folks, would come by and help me, you know, take that form to the supervisor of elections and get me a ballot and get it in, I would be very, very grateful. Am I allowed to say my last name on the air?
Sure, go ahead.
Kim O'Connor. I would be very grateful if she could get her vote in today.
Okay, so your dilemma is that you haven't voted, you're trapped in the hospital because you're undergoing treatment, and you want to vote, and you don't have a way to vote.
Right, I have the form. I just need one of these every vote counts. People to come by. It's a little complicated, but you know, Tampa General's right close to downtown, so I sign the form. They take the form to the supervisor elections. They bring me my ballot, and then they take the ballot back. So
they got okay.
A lot of work, but it would get one vote in. It would be my vote. That'd be very, very grateful.
All right, so go to the front desk at Tampa General Hospital. Ask for Kim O'Connor, and you got to make two trips. All right,
yeah.
Kim, I hope you feel better.
Oh, thank you, Ralph. Appreciate everything you guys are doing, and everybody go vote.
All right. Thanks, Kim. I hope you get better soon. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Carlos in Tampa, who says the polling place was disorganized. Carlos, where'd you vote?
Yes, sir. I live in Riverview, someplace in Gibsonton. Not enough parking space. Basically, it was a nightmare. A lot of people went back home because you can't even park. There is not a single police officer to conduct traffic. It was bad.
Tell us exactly where in Riverview. What's the venue?
It is on Sims Road. I forget the name of the place. It's not a library. It's like a civic location area, recreational, something like that.
A lot of people wanted to vote, and there wasn't enough parking.
Yeah, you can't park your car, Rob. There is only, I would say, space for probably for 40, 50 vehicles. And if, as you may know, Riverview is growing like crazy. I mean, unbelievable the number of people that live in Riverview now. But it was, and the sad part, there is a football field or soccer field in the back of the area, and you could just open down. I don't want it in open. So a lot of people, you got stuck if you enter. You can't even exit. A lot of people had to leave, and I hope that those people, they will come back. I believe that was
all right. Well, yeah. Well, I hope they come back too. All right, Carlos. Thanks. Thanks for the eyewitness update. Thank you. All right. So that is on, I think he said, Stims Road in Riverview, and there's a crowd there. You may want to plan for extra time if you're going to go out and vote today, because once people get in the polls, if they haven't studied those 12 amendments on the ballot, they may take some time to read them as they're voting, and that could slow things down. You may want to find, you know, a group that you support and to look at the way they recommend voting on the 12 issues. League of Women Voters has a good guide out there. I think some of the conservative Christian groups have a good guide out there. And I know that the Democratic Progressive Caucus of Florida has a good guide out there, too. You can find that at progressivefl.org. But there's lots of ways to figure out how to vote on those amendments. The newspaper, the Tampa Bay Times, has made recommendations, so you can look at that if you're in the Tampa Bay Times service area. 813-239-9663. Ron in West Tampa says, I voted early and by mail-in ballot. I hope the issue in West Tampa gets resolved and those affected voters are able to vote as they are deserving of. I don't like the sound of what's going on there. I'd hate to think that voter suppression is in effect. I'm proud to vote. It's a hard-fought privilege. Vote blue, writes Ron in West Tampa. Well, if you vote red, call us up, 813-239-9663. Let's go to Chris in Tampa, who's been holding for a while. Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, what's up, Rob?
How are you?
Excited Trump voter here.
Thanks for calling.
We're getting excited out here.
Okay.
Well, we know Trump voters, they're not going to leave the poll. They'll wait 12 hours in line if they have to.
Well, and Chris, did you see
rallies for sometimes 14, 15 hours? So we know they ain't going anywhere.
So did you vote today?
I've already voted 2 weeks ago.
All right, so you don't have to stand.
But a lot of my coworkers, boy, they're excited to get down there and vote. Bunch of people that I know are going down there and voting.
So do you think Rick Scott's going to win the U.S. Senate race?
I do.
Yeah, okay.
I also think Ron DeSantis is going to win, too.
I think that's entirely possible.
I talked a couple weeks ago about the Bernie and Gillum rally. I did get a tally on that number.
Okay.
There was 300 people.
No, I was there, and I counted the people, and I estimated between 700 and 1,000. I was right in the thick of the crowd. There were more than 300.
I heard 300.
Well, I was there, and I actually did a count.
I could be wrong on that. What I heard. That's what I've on the internet.
Yeah, no, that I trust somebody who was there. Don't trust somebody.
Well,
I
absolutely trust you. Yeah, but yeah. I believe you were there. I mean, I certainly wasn't there.
Yeah.
How do you think Obama did for the party overall coming out. And I mean, do you think he helped the cause any? Or I'm just curious of how your feelings on
that. I don't
know.
I wasn't in Miami. I saw a little bit of the sound on TV. I don't know. And we'll see what the turnout is in Miami. That's the only place he campaigned, I think, in Florida.
Yeah. So. See, well, he lost his voice. His voice blew out after like three rallies.
Yeah.
Him and Biden. I'm thinking, here's Trump, 72 years old. Trump, he don't lose a lick, and this guy's lost his voice after three rallies.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, not that that means anything, but it was kind of funny.
Yeah. All right, Chris.
Well,
thanks a lot.
Good luck. I wish you luck.
All right, Chris.
We're excited.
All right. Chris, thank you for calling. Let's go to David in Tampa, who's a poll greeter. Hi, David. You're on WMNF. What are you saying?
Hey, Rob. First off, first-time caller, by the way.
Thank you.
I was doing the precinct on Waters in near Armenia, and it was where I voted for the last 25 years. I've never seen it that many people coming in, and it was hundreds of people, and constantly all kinds of folks. So I'm optimistic. I was representing Gillum and the Democratic Progressive Party. So I just wanted to let you know that it all went well. We had to take down a couple chains to make the parking work a little better, because the school that it's located at, they closed for today and had forgot to take them down or whatever, but we dealt with it. So I just wanted to let you know that.
So so people should not be afraid to show up there at Waters. And what was the cross street?
It's a Havana. It's called Waters. The Oak Grove Methodist Church.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, it's all smooth. They're running it really well. They always have. And I would say a preponderance of certainly Gillum voters. I don't know the rest of it, but majority of people are giving us a thumbs up and so on. And we're represented. When I left, I was replaced by four people who are representing with information for the amendments and the ticket. So there's a lot of enthusiasm, at least in my neighborhood.
All right, David. Thanks a lot. Thanks for being a first-time caller.
Okay.
All right.
Bye.
Thanks, David. Good to hear from you. 813-239-9663. Let's go to Michael from Tampa. He said something about Scotland and extremism. Michael, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hi, Rob. It's my first-time caller. I originate from Scotland. I'm an American citizen now. But I have noticed something. I watch both MSNBC and Fox. And according to Fox, anybody slightly to the left of them is the extreme left. And MSNBC, anything slightly to the right of them is the extreme right. I don't see extremes as being opposite. I see them as actually curving round, each one meeting the other, each one flying at the extreme its own flag of fascism.
Ah, so you think that you're with the left when it comes to Fox and fascism, but you think MSNBC is leaning towards fascism. Why do you say that?
I think they both extreme doesn't even need to be MSNBC. Extremes in both sides. I've noticed that, and this gets me, I've noticed that people will look at the other side when anything they say, and instead of trying to find something that they can maybe agree, they do the opposite. They look for things that they can poke holes in, things that they can twist and point to the other side as being terrible. And it's just altogether. This country should be trying to find points of agreement, not looking for points of disagreement.
All right. And Michael, do you think there's any politician that's trying to bring us together?
Do you know the one person I thought during the last elections, and I voted, I'm independent. I was Democrat. I'm now independent. But the governor of who am I thinking of? He was Republican who ran for president.
Kasich from Ohio?
Kasich, yes. Kasich.
Yeah.
I thought Kasich was the one politician there who, instead of trying to badmouth others, promoted his own agenda, but without being negative towards others. Try to look at the positive, and if other politicians did the same thing, we would have a much healthier society.
All right, Michael, thanks a lot. Thanks for calling in. I do think we got to We got to work together, no doubt about it. Michael, thank you for that. Gina writes this. The Republicans like to resort to racist ads, such as in 1988 when George H.W. Bush campaigned using the Willie Horton issue against Massachusetts Michael Dukakis. Horton was released on prison furlough and killed someone, but the furlough program was started during the Republican Governor William Weld's administration, writes Gina, who's talking about that ad that NBC and Fox pulled yesterday. Farrah writes this, it is steady out at Precinct 307 in Grant Park, taking about 15 to 20 minutes to get in and out. And I think Grant Park is right there by the fairgrounds, right, Farrah? Farrah, thanks for that eyewitness report. We're asking people what they're thinking about Election Day, but we started off with a potential problem at the West Tampa Public Library, which is one of the voting places in Hillsborough County. Let's go to Bill in Tampa, who wants to talk about parking in Riverview at the precinct there. Bill, where are you?
I'm in Homosassa.
Oh, you're in Homosassa.
I live in Dover.
All right.
So I moved here.
All right, so you moved from Dover to Homosassa. Okay.
Boy, for Gillum, I can't believe they. I tell you, I thought of every aspect of how they was going to cheat him till this. Now, all I want to get across is anybody who lives in that Riverview area, please go back and vote. That, you know, if you have a restaurant and you got not enough parking for the seats, they'll shut you down. Now, there's more government involved in that situation than just the election board. I mean, the police, fire, everybody should be. I mean, that guy said there was a football field in the back. Open that sucker up. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I think that there should be plenty of free parking for people that want to vote. And, you know, I suspect that what's going on is that there are a lot more people voting and it's taking a lot longer to vote this time. And the elections officials in Hillsborough County weren't ready for it. That's my guess. But that's no excuse. There should be plenty of parking. I agree.
Well, you got police, fire.
Yeah.
Everybody should be involved in that thing. And that's.
Well, hopefully, somebody from the
boy. What's that, Rob?
Well, I don't think so. I mean, Craig Latimer has been here a couple of times. I think he's a pretty straight arrow. I don't think he's trying to suppress any vote in Hillsborough County.
Just him, but whatever. The guy said it wasn't even enough police out there to take care of that.
Yeah. Well, I hope that the Hillsborough Supervisor of Elections office is listening, and somebody can call Craig's office and tell him.
And I hope everybody in Riverview hears me right now, turns around and goes back to spite them and get the vote. That's it.
All right, Bill. Thanks a lot. Thanks for checking in. And you're listening to WMNF in Tampa. We've got one open line. You can call us at 813-239-9663. In the next hour, the Midpoint Program, your hero, Mark Biro, will be here. Let's go to Russell in Tampa. Hey, Russell, you're on WMNF. Thanks for calling.
Hey, Rob. I wanted to address the voter suppression issue and see if you could agree on part of what I'm saying. I mean, I think it's going to end up that 30-something percent of the people won't vote at all, right? And those usually the averages.
Yeah, you know, in the last presidential election, I think 77% of the folks voted, so that means that 23% of the folks did not.
Okay, pretty good turnout. And then you've got some huge number of people that show up today. And so it just puzzles me that you get a whole month to vote. I voted Saturday morning at the library. It took 20 minutes. And I just don't get this how, you know, it's hard to vote thing when you have 30 days and unlimited amounts of opportunity to go vote.
Well, you know, I remember voting in the primary just a few months ago, and I vote it at a community center, and I could find a parking place. I walked in. I knew all the issues before I walked in because I had studied ahead of time. It took me 5 minutes to vote. It took me a little bit longer, maybe 5 or 6 minutes, and I walked out. There was no line. There was nothing. So I think people who are used to voting in the primary think, oh, I'm going to show up in the general, and it's going to be that fast. And it's not that fast because, among other things, you've got judicial candidates that weren't on the ballot last time. You've got all the state House seats. You've got Florida Senate candidates in half the districts. And you've got those 12 amendments. I mean, and then every cabinet member, it's a long ballot. So people should be I think maybe they some people didn't know how long the ballot was going to be. What do you think?
Well, I don't think you can call it voter suppression if people refuse to be educated about the voting.
I agree. I don't think what we're seeing is voter suppression. I mean, I know what Bill from Homosassa was saying, there should be plenty of parking places, but I don't think that that was deliberate. I just think that this ballot is so long and complicated. I haven't used the word suppression at all today. Now, if you were to ask me about Georgia, I might give you a different answer. Or if you ask me about Kansas, I would give you a different answer. But here in Florida, I think, you know, I've met some of the supervisors of elections. I think they're all pretty straight arrows. That's what we want. And, there may be some suppression issue down the road, but I don't think the lack of parking is really a suppression issue. I think it's a function of how long that ballot is.
Yeah, okay, last word. Yeah, win, lose, or draw. I've called before. I'm a conservative.
Oh, I know. I'm
cool with the outcome, and I would just hope that people realize that we have had almost 30 days to vote, and if you didn't vote or your line is long and it's 4 o'clock this afternoon and you waited till the last minute, for the love of Pete, you only have yourself. Go look in the mirror. It's just
okay,
too easy
Russell.
To vote.
Russell, thanks a lot. Great to hear from
okay.
you. Okay. All right. And Brent writes this, given the opportunity and advantages of voting by mail, why don't more people, all voters, vote by mail? No ID issues, no lines, no parking. Hope there's a push to get more voters to vote by mail in the future, writes Brent. And actually, I think more people are availing themselves of that opportunity to vote by mail. Just to JR's point, there is an issue. We don't know how serious it is, but some people's polling precinct was changed apparently at the last minute. So that's an issue we're going to have to pay attention to. Is that suppression? I don't know. It could be just, you know, they've redrawn the districts and changed the polling places. But here's some more. We have so many emails here. And thanks to Bill Grace. He's been our phone producer today. 727, unsigned, says the polling place at the church on 580 in Clearwater, Dunedin, seemed to be okay. There's plenty of parking in the church parking lot. So this is on 580 in Clearwater, Dunedin. So that polling place is okay. And let me see if I can read some more of these emails. There should be plenty of parking for people who can't get an ID. Why do they need to park? I'm not sure what that means, but thank you for that, Anonymous. And here's another Anonymous. Everybody wants to be anonymous today. Democrats have been petitioning for canvassers. When Republicans ask for canvassers, they offer to pay. I've gotten all these emails. I'd rather listen to people who weren't paid in order to convince me, writes Anonymous. Let's go to Rudy in Tampa, who's going to be with us in just a second, I think. We're running out of time here, but maybe we can get Rudy on. Maybe not. Stu writes this, voting district 17 in Lake Placid in Highlands County. First time I can remember, no refund, waiting at polling places with signs only Dems for Nelson and filling. Stu, I think I read that correctly, but I don't understand it. But that's Stu in voting district 17 in Lake Placid in Highlands County. And here's another unsigned, or Beatniks writes this. My neighbor this morning at 7:15 a.m. in Bradenton in the River District said there were long lines. All right. Let's go to Rudy in Tampa. Rudy, we're down to the last 45 seconds. What would you like to say?
Me?
Rudy, it's you.
Yeah, it's me. Hey, you know, I was just wondering, I hear these different people come on the air talking about gentleman said he can't being the governor because he's being investigated, but then they always fail to mention about the other guy that's going up there, how he is fined or something, big fines, and for his medical company for stealing from everybody.
Well, that was Governor Rick Scott. That's a different race. Yeah. Gillum is running against DeSantis.
I understand that, but they always fail to mention this. How the governor, you know, why would they want somebody like Dellum for Senate? That it'd be abhorrent to have that, but it's okay to have the guy that runs the state.
Yeah, you're saying that if Rick Scott got elected and his company ripped off Medicare for hundreds of billions of dollars And then Andrew Gillum is accused of taking free tickets to Hamilton and a free trip to Costa Rica, which is worse. And one guy got elected to governor, and the other guy is running for governor. I think it's an interesting question. I think that's a very interesting question. And, Rudy, thanks a lot. Thanks for making it. If you want to comment about today's show, call us up, 813-238-8001. Record your comment on extension 115. This is WMNF in Tampa.
Young man sitting on the witness stand. The man with the book says, raise your hand. Repeat after me, I solemnly swear. The man looked down at his long hair. And although the young man solemnly swore, nobody seemed to hear anymore. And it did.